Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, August 19th, 2025. This show is live today on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat, just go to 12radio.com and click chat, and then click the YouTube link posted under my banner in the chat room there if you want to join me on YouTube. Feel free to comment or ask questions about the teaching segment, and I will answer them after the show. Well, last week, if you heard the show last week, C.A. Brooks was my guest, and I was telling her that I was going to go to the Rockies game last Sunday with my brother and sister-in-law, which I did, and we just chatted about that for a minute, but that game was so much fun. The Rockies have a horrible record this year, horrible. And I had texted my brother beforehand, and I said, I'm really excited to go. I love Coors Field. I love the Rockies. I haven't been to a game since, I think, 2019. So it's been a long time. And there was a time that we just went all the time. We went to Rockies games all the time. They came to Colorado. Coors Field was built in 1995. The Rockies came that year. And back then, it was $5 to get in and get a rock pile seat, which is not a great seat, but it's a seat to the game. So we would get rock pile tickets often, my son and I. And our next door neighbor, Gary, who was a paint salesman, always had tickets to Rockies game because he was a paint salesman. So he gave them to his clients, and I'd get home from work, Jared be home from high school, and Gary had run over and go, do you guys want to go to a Rockies game? I got tickets. We'd jump in the car and go to a Rockies game. And it was just, Coors Field is a beautiful, beautiful stadium, beautiful stadium. I mean, just being there is great. But anyway, back to present time. They won the game Sunday. They won the game. And I mean, it was a great game, and it looked really bad at the beginning. But they managed to pull it out, and I think they won by one or two hits, or one or two runs, I should say. Anyway, the thing that I noticed, you know, because everything is if we take it, and I noticed it during the game, but I really noticed it after, is, you know, there's an opportunity to learn something about yourself, or see, maybe not learn, maybe, but see something about yourself. And usually it's not great. Or in this case, it wasn't great. But, I don't typically, like, I wouldn't watch baseball on TV. But going to a game is a whole different thing. And I just want, it was so much fun to be in the mix of people. And that's what I'm working on right now, you know, in my life. Or that's what kind of my focus and things that have been showing up have been just opportunities to be out in life. Because I work for myself, I work at home, and I work on the phone. So it's wonderful. I love my work, but being out in people is an energy that is really important. You know, it's important to be in life, be in the mix of life and in different energies. Well, we're sitting at this game, and they played the Diamondbacks, the Arizona Diamondbacks. And there was a guy standing behind us, and he was a Diamondbacks fan. And the Diamondbacks were looking really good at the beginning of the game. But I'll tell you, the Rockies' defense was incredible. I mean, we were having a tough time getting hits off of them, but we were defending, and they weren't scoring either. So it was really, you know, it was good. But this guy was so loud. It was like he was sitting right behind me, screaming in my ear. And he was a couple of rows up, but he was really, really loud. And, you know, I realized not just that was annoying. And my sister-in-law was like, I'm going to scoot down to the end of the row because he's so loud. I mean, and everybody cheers. That's great. But he really just had a big voice. And like my brother said, he was just being a fan, which he was. He was just being a fan. But just incredibly loud and nonstop, you know, like nonstop. Yeah. But anyway, The reason why, like, I don't watch the news. I stay completely away from politics. And for the most part, I don't watch sports on TV because I can't maintain my neutrality. I can't. And I need my neutrality to do my job, or else I can't work with my clients to the best of you know, to the optimum if I'm not neutral. I have to be the neutral observer. And that way, whatever information they need comes through me because I'm just the instrument, you know, I'm just the vehicle. So when I was there at that game, not just the guy behind me, but watching and really, you know, I wanted the Rockies to win, of course, of course. So I just realized at the end that my neutrality was just blown away. Just totally blown away. And it was an interesting thing to observe. Because the guy was really getting on my nerves. You know, I mean, I couldn't be neutral. I just lost my neutrality. That's it. Because really and truly, I'm at a baseball game and I'm in you know, in this human incarnation, in this psychic sea that is that is human consciousness. But it was really funny to watch that and realize, I guess, that that was happening as it was happening and trying to get it back. But boy, that was a lesson. That was a lesson in why I don't watch sports. But again, it was a day off and that was great. So, you know, I got back to myself afterwards, but pretty interesting observation. And I'm glad I could make it, actually. I'm glad I could make that observation and know that. And maybe next time I can maintain it a little better, or maybe I won't. But anyway, learned a bit about myself. The other thing that is really cool is all three of my grandchildren went to school yesterday. The little ones, Beau went to kindergarten. Quinn, my oldest, is in third grade. Wow, third grade this year. Bowden went to kindergarten, and Maisie went to pre-K 4. So they all got dressed up. They all, Jared, I just noticed before the show started that Jared had sent me pictures from yesterday morning on their first day of school. They go to a Catholic school that's just right across the street from where they live. So I'm not sure if kindergartners have to wear uniforms, but Quinn's in her uniform. But they always stand under the tree in front of the house, and Jared and Kristen, my daughter-in-law, and my son take pictures of them. And they have these blackboards that they hold that says, you know, what grade they're in, what their teacher's name is, and like what they want to be, you know, when they grow up, what they want to be. And like I said, I didn't get a chance to look at the ones from this year, but last year it was really funny because my granddaughter Quinn was going into second grade, and when she grew up, she wanted to be a cashier. And Bo was going into pre-K. I think he went into three because he skipped four to go to kindergarten because he's smart and he needs to be challenged. He wanted to be a fire truck. And Maisie, because she wasn't going, she had to stay in daycare, which was just horrible for her. She wanted so bad to go to school with the kids that they gave her a little sign and lined her up with the other two. And of course, on hers, when she grows up, she wants to be, and one of her parents wrote the boss because that's exactly how she is. But she's going to do so well. She's such a social kid, and Beau is so smart. They'll all just do really well. But what a thing, you know, all three of them actually in school. So that's a blessing and a half. Anyway, just thought I'd share it with you. And I just want to say thank you again for listening, for being live with me. If you're live with me today, or for listening, however, or whenever you do, I appreciate it. As I said, you can make comments in the chat rooms, either on YouTube or the One2 Radio chat room. I don't do readings on the show, but if you would like a reading or a healing from me, you can find me every day on one2listen.com. I'm usually available mid to later morning, Pacific time into the evening. If you don't see me, if you stop by and don't see me, if I happen to be busy, schedule a call, put in a call back request. I'm notified immediately via text, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. And I will always do my best to meet your schedule. And my usual reminders, because it's important. We have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen.com, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. We also celebrate astrological events such as the new and full moon. We celebrate holidays, and we celebrate the 12th of each month, 1-2 day. If you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 1-2 promotions, which means you leave your email address. And then you're in the loop for everything 12listen. I also want to remind you of the gratitude board on 12listen.com. You just go on there and post what you're grateful for. You can do it anonymously, so there's no reason not to. The advisors of 12listen will add our intention to yours, whether it is in your experience or something that you're working to manifest. Intention, attention are powerful. They are powerful because they expand on your intention. So, as I said, you can post anonymously, so why not? It's a great way for us to support you, and we do moderate that board 24/7. So I do encourage you to use it. It's really great. Why not? Why not? And also to let you know that there is programming 24/7 on 12radio.com. There are archives of all the shows from all the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. 12radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support. So again, I encourage you to take advantage. Take advantage. Maybe listen to somebody you wouldn't listen to normally. It's just a good place. A lot of different voices, a lot of different passions, and a lot of support. So please do take advantage. I just want to say thanks to Serena for producing the show today and for all she does for me and everybody on 12radio. Thanks, Serena. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Organic Electronic by David and Steve Gordon from the Nirvana Groove CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it for a few minutes, our little segue into the teaching segment, and I'll be back right after. Thanks again for being here. This is Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I started a series of shows on repeating patterns at the end of July, and I knew it would be a big topic because it really does extend into every area of life. You know, I can't think of one thing that we do or that kind of live as as human beings in an incarnation that we don't, that patterns don't repeat. I mean, they just do, you know, that we don't encounter stumbling blocks in one way or another. And the last show that I did last week was with CA, but the week before was on relationships, the repeating patterns in relationships. And before that, the show from July 29th, both shows, July 29th and August 5th, are in the on-demand section of 12radio.com and on my YouTube channel. So you can grab those if you didn't hear them. The first one that I did really laid the groundwork for what repeating patterns are, why they repeat, and you know what we do to get past them. So I'm going to briefly recap just some important points from that first show, and then we'll move on. I mean, briefly recap. This is the stuff that, these are the things that if you keep in mind, that if you just tuck them in the back of your consciousness, that you have them for reference. It's just very simple. First of all, what I mean by repeating patterns is, you know, it's something we all experience, as I just said. You know, the great new job ends up being just like the last one and the one before it. You know, family gatherings or time with siblings always end up the same and not in a good way. People are always the way they used to be. Nobody listens to me, you know, that kind of thing. And also with our bodies, what we want to change, something we want to change in our bodies. We want to lose some weight, but we just keep bumping into the same wall. Well, there's a lot of examples of repeating patterns, but the reason we continue to experience them is because we have something to change within ourselves in order to move past them. We attract to ourselves what we are. What you vibrate at, you attract. You call to yourself your own according to your self-concept and your beliefs. If you want to change your experience, there is no one to change but yourself. It takes courage and it takes neutrality because it means looking at what you believe about yourself in regard to the experience you want to change. In other words, taking your focus from outside, from whoever or whatever is happening to you, to yourself and what you believe that is allowing this thing to happen. Consciousness is cause. And no matter what, at the bottom of every experience, at the bottom of every repeating pattern, is a belief, or maybe more than one belief. And beliefs are not truth. They're not truth. They're just things that become a part of us because a lot of times we've believed them from the time we were little. But we can take steps to change things. And step one in changing repeating patterns is taking total and complete responsibility for what is sitting in your lap. Not blaming anyone or anything, not even, and actually I would say especially, yourself. It's about just, quote unquote, having it, and realizing that if it's in your experience, you attracted it, knowingly or not, consciously or not, because you can only live what you believe, what you have the consciousness for. Consciousness is the cause of everything, and what we experience is the effect of our consciousness, our beliefs, our opinions. Step two in changing repeating patterns is really looking at your self-concept, what you believe about yourself. Reverend Dyke, this is the best quote ever. You can never be greater than your own self-concept because your self-concept defines what you can have. That's a good one to tuck back in your consciousness, just that in and of itself. That. Neville defines self-concept as all that you accept and consent to as your concept of self. So the starting point for changing your self-concept, which probably sounds like a huge impossible thing, is understanding where it came from. And when you know where it came from, it really takes the bigness out of it. The effect that any person or any situation or anything has on you is completely dictated by your perception. And your perception is influenced by your judgments and opinions of what is good or bad, right or wrong. It's just, that's it. Your perception is influenced by your judgments. Your judgments and opinions are products of your influences or filters. And those are prenatal influence, early environment, education, and personal experience. These influences, as Joel Goldsmith said, make up who we are as humans. They are our filters, and they compel us to see things as we do. That's our foundation. That's our foundation. Our self-concept is, you know, based on what we believe about ourselves and what we accept as true or false, right or wrong. And so once you know that everyone and everything you experience has been filtered through your influences, which influences are also known as your associative mind, your ego, as well as filters. You know, it's everything that's happened in the past. And when you realize that in and of itself, that they're not in present time, you can change them because the past is dead, gone and over. Influences, filters, the associative mind, and ego are all based, as I said, on past experiences. And no matter how many times you've had experiences like the one you're having now, they are not the one you're having now. And they have nothing to do with the one you're having now if you don't let them. If you don't let them. You are supreme in your own orbit, the center of your universe. You call the shots. You know, you dictate what your experience is through your beliefs, through what you can and cannot, quote unquote, have. Last week, as I said, we talked about relationships as in like partnerships, intimate relationships. Today, we're going to start with family. So, you know, relationships are the greatest opportunity for growth, period. Period. They are. And all of life is relationship. So we have many, many opportunities for growth. But family relationships magnify that opportunity a million times. They just do. We chose the family that we were born into spiritually. We chose the family that we were born into or that we ended up having if we were not born into a specific family or were adopted or whatever, however it worked out. Specifically, we chose them because they provided the greatest opportunity for growth. And we have to remember, we did not come for a skate in the park. That's not why we incarnate. We came to fall down, skin our knees, and know and understand and realize that we could find out that we have within us all that we need for success in every area of life, that we have within us everything we need to pick ourselves back up and grow from whatever it was that made us fall down. I mean, that's it. You know, we only grow through overcoming adversity. And that is within us is the infinite self. The infinite self. The infinite God mind that meets every demand. As we grow and evolve as people, and also on the spiritual path, you know, people in our lives fall away. When we're growing and raising our vibration, everyone in our world is invited to come along because we're just raising our vibration. But everyone in our world is in their own evolution, which is perfect. Everybody is in their own evolution. There are no duplicates, and that evolution, wherever they are in it, is perfect. It's not wrong. It's not bad. It doesn't need to be fixed. It doesn't, you know, you cannot force somebody to come along with you when you raise your vibration because they're just not there. You know, they're here working on their specific heroic journey, as Stuart Wilde would call it, just like we are. So because they are in their own evolution, they may or may not come along with us. They may or may not. It's their choice, and we have to respect that. But when some fall away, space is made for new people to come in that do match our vibration. You know, and again, everything that comes into being goes away. It does. We live in a temporal experience, in a temporal world, temporal universe. That's what the physical is. It's all temporal. Nothing stays. Everything changes. And when we can get comfortable with that and be comfortable, as comfortable with adversity as we are with the sweet spots, so to speak, when things are going great, then we are in the best place we can be in. We're empowered. When we just know that life's a wild card, it's going to show up as it does, and that's it. When we cling to the desire for it to be different than it is, that's when we suffer. If we can just go, man, this is crap and I really don't like it, but it will pass, we're way ahead of the game. We're way ahead of the game. So as people fall away, new people come into our lives, new experiences come into our lives that match our vibrations because we attract what we are, what and who we are. And they'll be in our lives, you know, until they don't match our vibrations. And then they or we will move on, and evolution never stops. It never stops. But it does keep moving if we move with it. In other words, it's never going to stop. It's going to keep going. And we can either flow along with that, or we can fight it and suffer. That's what I meant to say. Family, as far as people falling away, family's a different story. There are people we can't move on from for one reason or another. And they may not be blood family, but it may be just some relationship that we have that we cannot move on from. And people in our family, though, usually do fall into that category. At least most of them, I would say. We can't move on from them. But they do us a fantastic service, a great service, by becoming the fire of our purification, as Ram Dass put it. And I love that. I love that. The fire of our purification. What that means, excuse me, what that means is we get to look at ourselves to find out if they affect us negatively, why they affect us the way that they do. We get to find that out. And that's the only way we're going to get, that's the only way we're going to get neutral. You know, we get neutral to them by finding out why we react the way we do to them. The people in our families know us. It's family relationships are just unlike any other. Some of the people in our families knew us from the time we were born. And I think they still think of us, some of them, not all of them. I can't group this in a big ball, but some of them still think of us as children, no matter how old we are. And they're stuck in the past and don't know or see us now in present time. They don't see the present time us, who we are, what we do as adults. And sometimes we can be offended by that. You know, it can be offensive. And also kind of disrespectful. But because we can't leave them behind, and we're probably going to see them at every family gathering, we don't push against that. We don't push back. We don't correct them. We don't demand that, you know, for Pete's sake, I'm this old, this age, and blah, 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 and you're treating me like I'm a kid, or talking to me like you did when I was 12. You don't do that. You don't do that, because again, if you do that, you suffer. Because when I was just saying that, even as an example, I could feel my back tighten up, because it was struggle. It's struggle. It's pushing against. And whatever you push against is going to push back. That's universal law. Whatever you resist is going to resist you. So we don't push back. We just, as Ram Dass would say, we just eat it. We just eat that. We know, after years and years of this happening, that that's just how it's going to be. So in knowing that, you make peace with it. You just make peace with it. You can't change another person. And you definitely can't change another person by pushing against them, by struggling with them. That just, again, just backfires, and they push back even harder, or it ends up just disastrous, you know? But when we just, as I said, so Uncle Harry is Uncle Harry. And that's how he is. That's how he's always been. And I'm just going to make peace with that. Bless him. Let him be who he is. You know, I have no control over that. I can't change anything about him. So I'm just going to detach. And I'm going to decide to use neutrality. Neutrality is a great vibration to use as a power tool to just fill in with. But I'm going to just detach and become neutral to him. When you're neutral, nobody can push your buttons. Nobody. And you stay in your power. You stay in your power. Detachment and neutrality, hand in hand, power tools. Because when you know, the opposite of detachment is being attached. And when we're attached, again, when we cling to something, when we want something to be different than it is, we suffer, because it just is what it is. They, if it's a person, are just who they are. So honestly, they're doing us a favor. And if we see it that way and face the belief that's at the bottom of our reaction to them, we can drop it off our cart and leave it behind. And that's it. That's what, you know, working with our self-concept, what lights us up, and getting quiet. And it may take more than one sitting, but being in the awareness, having the consciousness to just take a look. Why do they make me so mad? Why does that person light me up the minute they say a word to me? Why? What is it that I believe about myself that's being hit up against by this person? And when we look at that, because we don't look at these things, we've been on kind of, or self-concept is probably on autopilot there for many, many years. Many, many years, because it all started, you know, with our influences, our filters from the time we were, before we were born. But the other thing, you know, like I said, we know them, and we could argue, but we'd be the ones suffering if we did. And they are just who they are. But we, the other reason why we get lit up is because we take their remarks personally. And they're not personal. They're not personal. Everybody is speaking, everybody that speaks to us is speaking through their filters, just like we speak through ours. So they're just showing us themselves, and they're showing us, it's like Neville said, everyone that comes into our lives comes to show us who we are. Well, people are always just showing us who they are, their state of consciousness, but they show us who we are by and through our reactions to them. So that's when we go, okay, I've got something to take care of. I've got something that I want to let go of. because I don't want to react. I don't want to react like that because it's ugly. It hurts. You know, it hurts inside if you say a word about it or not. But we take things personally because they hit up against our self-concept. So knowing that presents an opportunity, again, to take a look. And the question to ask is, why do I react like that? Why? I mean, it's sometimes something somebody says that is meaningless. I mean, it's really not even a pointed comment, but you feel that twinge, you know, that twinge and that kind of like your muscles tighten up and it just kind of shoots through you. So really, all of this is for us, you know, all of this is for us to be better, to love our lives, to love our experiences, no matter what our experiences are. Irvin Seal said, as far as taking things personally, another person's thought about you has nothing to do with you unless and until you make it your thought. So here again, we encounter our filters and influences. Members of families play certain roles. The oldest brother was the favorite, the middle sister was invisible, the youngest was a troublemaker, etc., etc., etc. And years later, as adults, we still ascribe their behavior to those roles. Think about that. Your cousin was a bully when you were kids. So every time you see her, that's what comes rushing into your mind and your body as memory and emotion from memory. You feel the way you felt when you were little, and you don't want anything to do with her. But both you and she are different people now. I believe we live lifetimes in our lifetimes. We've lived a lot of lifetimes from the time we were little kids until where we are right now. And you're missing out on a potential relationship with each other in present time because you're referencing the past, who she was in the past when you guys were kids. You know, and if not a relationship, at least a neutral detachment, which is healing. The way past, I think, this particular example, is to make a concerted effort to sacrifice those childhood memories and the feelings that go with them. Because again, the past is dead, gone, and over, and so are the bully and the victim from childhood. They're gone. This is a great example of what Chopra called the prison of past conditioning. We are nowhere near the same person we were in the past, especially in childhood, but we allow it to limit us in present time, just because it always has. You know, it's not conscious, but we do allow it to limit us because it's how we've operated for many, many years. But present time is a power tool. The present moment is all that exists. The past is dead. I mean, gone, completely gone. And so being in present time, and I'm just going to, no, I'll save that for something else. You can imagine a bubble, a great tool, a great exercise. You can imagine a crystal clear bubble in front of you and give it a grounding cord, colored beam of light to the center of the earth. And see you and your cousin or whoever it is in that bubble and flood it with the vibration of neutrality. Neutrality. Just let it wash through that relationship space. And you put the bubble in the grounding cord, you put today's date on it, and you just let that neutrality heal it. It washes through, it washes out all friction, it washes out all that doesn't belong. And you might also add the vibration of mutual benefit in there. And that'll change things. That simple exercise will change things. The present moment is powerful. We have to occupy the present moment by being the best person we can be in it, by shining our light, being loving, kind, and giving, being a giving person, or as Stuart Weil would say, being a big person, being magnanimous and giving of ourselves. If we're neutral and detached, and amused, because amusement is another power tool, we are 10 feet tall and bulletproof. And our energy or vibration alone can shift the dynamic at a family gathering, or it can shift the dynamic everywhere we go. I mean, it's just beautiful. It's healing. When we go out in our, as I said, being a big person, being loving, kind, and giving, that vibration precedes us. And that's a wonderful experience to have. It's all an inside job. Change yourself and change your experience. Speaking of jobs, that's the next repeating patterns I want to talk about. I have a couple of friends that run into the same problems in every job they get. They've even moved to different cities, different states, and the patterns repeat again. In both cases, this is an example of expecting the worst. Even though they wouldn't say that, but carrying the negative experiences of their previous jobs into the next ones is what they do. You know, and being cautious and wondering if, you know, if this is going to be the same as the last one, and you know, being on guard for negative experiences and basically expecting them. And I can hear Esther Hicks in my ear saying, you can never get past your story if you continue to tell it. And that is very true. And especially if you continually tell it to yourself, because you are creating the filter through which you will judge the new job. And if you are on guard for negative experiences, they'll show up in spades. I mean, they will just show up. And then you'll go, I knew it. It always turns out this way. Every job, every boss. You know, it's I'm laughing at it because it's funny, but it's, that really does happen. You live what you believe. And you reap what you sow, not only in action, but in thought and belief. This incarnation is ruled by the law of cause and effect. It is. Everything, for everything you do, there is an effect. Dissatisfaction, whether it is with your job or anything else, breeds more dissatisfaction. But dissatisfaction is a choice. Nothing is perfect. Nothing. And that is exactly how it's supposed to be. Because again, we grow through overcoming adversity. We learn, because nothing is perfect. No job is perfect. There are usually parts of it, even if we love the job, that we don't particularly care for. But they have to be done. And the key is to just do them without emotional attachment, without judgment. They are just things that need to be done. So see them neutrally, black and white, and get them done. Your perception is what gives them the effect they have on you. So let go of your negative opinion of them, and they become a non-event. You can become neutral to them. The same thing goes for coworkers, or managers, or bosses, or whatever. There's most likely someone that hits up against your self-concept and gives you the opportunity to look at what you believe about yourself in the context of your job. There has to be someone there. There has to be, because again, this is how we grow, and this is not a mistake, and this is not bad. This is opportunity. And we take what comes, because again, life is a wild card. We don't know. But what is it? I'm not going to fight it. You know, what is the belief that your coworker or boss lights up in you? And again, beliefs are not truth. And whatever you find when you look for that, when you have the courage and the motivation to look for that, can be changed. Can be changed. Because you're becoming aware of something that you were not aware of before. I mean, you were aware that they rubbed you wrong. But why? Why? You didn't know why. Or maybe you thought you did, but I bet it's not the belief. So anyway, again, you can never be greater than your own self-concept, because your self-concept defines what you can have. It's all you. Work is an incredibly important part of life. And it is important to work with integrity. No matter what's going on around you, Forget about what other people do or say. You are it. You are it. The creator of your experience. Find and focus on the things you like or love about your work and work for the love of the work. No matter what it is, it might be one little tiny thing. Blow it up. Expand it by loving it, because then it compensates for the other things that you may not like. What you get out of anything is in direct proportion to what you put into it. Maybe the job you have right now is a bridge to where you want to be. Excuse me. Maybe you're in school, or maybe your desire is to do your heart or spiritual work. But you have to make a living in the meantime. If your current job is a bridge to your desire, it is serving an important purpose. So treat it as if it were your destination, because without it, you couldn't pursue your destination. Give it your all, even if you're washing dishes. Do it with integrity and love, because that's planting seeds for your next step. And in every moment, you are reaping what you sow. In every moment, in thought, belief, emotion, we just do. It's onward. It's continuous biofeedback. And if you do it with love and integrity, even washing dishes, you're a blessing to everyone you work with and encounter. Gibran said, when you work, you're a flute through whose heart the whispering of the hours turns to music. And what is it to work with love? It is to weave the cloth with threads drawn from your heart, even as if your beloved were to wear that cloth. So back to what I call heart work, which is usually non-traditional work in my experience. It can be spiritual, holistic, creative, or artistic work. Or it can be traditional work if that's what lights you up, what you're passionate about. I've been listening to a lot of Joseph Campbell, and he coined the phrase, follow your bliss. And he said, bliss being an intuition of where your joy is. That's what bliss is, an intuition of where your joy is, what you are enthusiastic about, and letting it guide your life. He said enthusiasm means filled with God. So find what you're enthusiastic about and follow it. Your bliss is the message of God to yourself. It is where your life is, and following your bliss puts you on a track that's been waiting for you all along. I love that. Now, it may take some time to get to the place where your bliss is your primary work, but even if you are washing dishes for a living, you still devote time and attention to what brings you joy, because that feeds your soul and makes washing dishes or whatever it is you do a whole lot better. You are all that you have to give to the world, no matter what you're doing. So that's just something that you're doing. It's not what you are. And as Campbell said, your bliss is the message of God to yourself. It's where your life is. And following your bliss puts you on a track that's been waiting for you all along. Be true to your bliss, to your passion. Where you are now, and as Neville said, if you can be as true to it while you do your other life, you know, maybe you have a family, you have a different job, but there is that thing that won't leave you alone because you love it. And it's your calling, so to speak. And if you are true to it, as Neville so eloquently said, across a bridge of incidents, you will find yourself living your bliss. And I can attest to that from personal experience. It's really the truth of it. So right now, I'm at the end of the show. Wow. Wow. So anyway, I want to thank you for joining me today. I might have a little more of repeating patterns to talk about next time, but I hope that's valuable. I hope that what you heard was valuable. Thank you for joining me today. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. I wish you a very, very blessed week, everyone. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye-bye.